KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
From the capital city, I'm Jazz Garrett. Alaska Governor Meg Dunleavy has vetoed an education funding package overwhelmingly passed by lawmakers and urged action on teacher bonus and charter school provisions that have been divisive among legislators. The Republican governor announced his decision last night, hours ahead of a deadline he faced to sign the bill, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. In late February, he threatened to veto the measure. He complained it lacked provisions he favors, including a three-year program offering annual bonuses as a way to attract and keep teachers, and changes to the application process for charter schools aimed at promoting them. Both provisions have struggled to gain traction with lawmakers. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities South Coast Region Office presented a summary of the 2023 fieldwork studies and preliminary results of the Level 2 screening process conducted as part of the planning and environmental linkages process for the Juneau-Douglas North Crossing in facilitated meetings with the PELS Joint Technical and Stakeholder Advisory Committee. A summary presentation on the results were delivered to the City and Borough of Juneau Public Works and Facility Committee meeting on Monday. The Level 2 screening process is the second step in the process of narrowing down the alternatives to be carried into the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. Six alternatives made it to the Level 2 screening, and the Sunny Point, Vanderbilt, and the Twin Lakes alternatives are scoring the best. The Salmon Creek and the Mendenhall Peninsula alternatives are at the lower end of the scoring. Steve Noble, Dow Consultant Project Manager for the Juneau North Douglas Project, explains how they determine these scores.
Level 2 screening looks at a long list of criteria. Criteria kind of feed out of the project purpose and need and the additional goals for the project, which is things like building in resiliency into the transportation infrastructure, redundancy if the bridge were to be to have construction issues or maintenance issues, or a boat strikes it, or there's a landslide on Egan Drive that blocks partial access from getting there on either side, or there's a flood issue, or whatever the case might be, building in some infrastructure. So that's part of what, you know, so there's certain criteria that feed out of that purpose and need.
There are community goals built into the criteria.
Minimizing environmental impacts, things like accommodating economic development, improving access for multimodal users. So all those things kind of feed into this laundry list of environmental or project criteria and screening criteria. And then we evaluate all those alternatives based on that criteria and come up with this score at the bottom of that list. That it's not an exact science in that we don't necessarily recommend the best scoring alternatives, but it gives us a general comparison of those six alternatives and how they compare against each other.
CBJ has partnered with DOTMPF. Bridget LePinter is CBJ's Chief of General Engineering and the CBJ Project Manager. She says the city's involvement in the project is to make sure the chosen alternatives align with the city's needs.
A lot of it is cutting off transportation time right now to Douglas Island. You know, the redundancy in infrastructure is of great importance, but also in the future there will be, the goal of the city is to have more economic development opportunities, for example housing on North Douglas, and there is potential for more development on the backside of Douglas as well, but that would have to be in partnership with private landholders back there.
The city's top priority is affordable housing. A connection to North Douglas has been studied since the 1980s, but previously has not progressed beyond the identification and recommendation of preliminary alternative alignments. LePinter said that the time is right now to pursue this as there is more federal funding available. And Greg Walkwood, Alaska DOT Project Manager, shares what he's been noticing between the start of the PEL study in spring of 2022 to the spring of 2024.
A lot of people have an interest in this in town, which is good. We're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of information, a lot of comments. It's good to digest all that, but you know, it's like having multiple cooks for one stew. Not everybody's gonna be happy, but we're trying to get the best project with all this information that's coming in. That's the ultimate goal. What's been a good surprise is how engaged and active the public is on this project.
It's still early in the process, and there's still more time to provide public input. There will be a public open house in June to review the Pell study, which is set to be finalized in July. For more information, or to sign up for the project mailing list, visit the project website at jdnorthcrossing.com. Coming up, new daily weather records set in both Juneau and Ketchikan. That story next with Grace Dumas when Local First News continues.
Juneau's airport set a new daily record temperature yesterday, breaking the record set in 1998, says Andrew Park, meteorologist with National Weather Service Juneau.
For Thursday, March 14th, our observed temperature range was a low of 34 degrees Fahrenheit with a high of 48 degrees Fahrenheit. Our normal temperature range, what we would normally see for our area, is 26 degrees Fahrenheit, low to a high of 38 degrees Fahrenheit. We do have an El Nino going on, you know, warm, wet winter, and certainly that's been the case. We've had some very significant snowfall events, but we've also had some pretty decent rain events.
On the other hand, Ketchikan broke a daily precipitation record yesterday. The 1.95 inches breaks the record of 1.77 inches that was set in 2017. But Park says they may break their own temperature record soon.
I'm pretty pumped on this. 850 millibar temperature, so around 5,000 feet, we're going to see, you know, 10 to 11 degrees Celsius. And to bring that into perspective, we should usually, for Saturday morning, we should usually be right around like negative 4 to negative 3 degrees Celsius at 5,000 feet. The system currently moving over us is bringing really, really warm temperatures for Saturday. And there's a good chance that Ketchikan could also break a record. I was just looking at their observations, you know, their climate stats. They added, you know, 55, 54 degree high for Saturday and Sunday. I don't think I can forecast that officially, but if we see 58 degree temperatures Saturday for Ketchikan, I'm not going to be surprised.
We talked with the Thunder Mountain High School boys basketball head coach John Blasco and Thunder Mountain senior Sam Lockhart earlier this week on their Region B title. Now it's time to hear from Thunder Mountain head coach of the Lady Falcons, Andy Lee, on his hopes for the state. He calls it a program win that was made possible through the foundation built by the past players, cheer team, pep band, and dance team.
Particularly with this team, back-to-back regular season championships, it's back-to-back regional championships. Last year it meant a lot because not only did we, you know, win it for the first time, but we won it at home. And this year, you know, we won it at what, you know, maybe the school's last opportunity to win one. So meaningful in a lot of ways. I have six seniors, eight total in the program, and I know it's meaningful to them. But at the end of the day, it's all the hard work. This goes back to girls who preceded this group, girls Sykes, Billy, Wilsons, and kids who contributed to building the base for what we have today.
Lee thinks that past experiences will be their advantage.
Having won our first regional title last year was, you know, our first trip to state. And we beat Diamond, and we lost to Juneau Douglas last year. So we were 1-1 last year. And oh, I'm sorry, 1-2. We lost to West in the opening round. And so it was a great experience. We have 10 players back from that, and we're hoping to capitalize on that.
Thunder Mountain boys face West Valley Wednesday, and the Thunder Mountain girls will face Diamond. It's the first time that both the Thunder Mountain boys and girls are going to state together, and the last.
You want them to stay in a basketball focus mode, but you also want them to be light during the day and loose in terms of not overly focused and just enjoy the ride. Enjoy every moment. Soak it up.
Now you're up to date with Local First News. I'm Grace Dumas.